Lord is in this place. Amen. We want to bring Brother Hurt, Evangelist Brother Hurt, to this pulpit today and just let God minister the way God does. Amen. Aren't you glad for the Spirit of God that He can speak to us? Amen. That He can give us direction. He can guide us and help us in our lives. It comes through the speaking of the Word of God. The Bible says you can't be saved without a preacher. Amen. I want the preacher to preach it straight to me. Amen. Tell me what I need to do to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Preach to me today, Brother Hurt.
Amen. Put your hands together and give the Lord praise for all that He has done. He's a wonderful God. Amen. Amen. We thank the Lord for being again here in the house of God. The Bible declares where two or three come together in His name, He is in the midst of us. There's something that happens when people not only just come together, but when they come together and they are aware of what's in the midst of them. I thank the Lord for His Spirit that we feel in this house today. Amen. Amen. We give Him honor. We give honor to your pastor, Pastor Roberts. Amen. No hand claps. Come on now. You got to learn how to honor your leaders. Amen. The Bible declares them that rule well shall be counted worthy. Didn't say that he is not somebody talking about themselves. Amen. But the Bible says them that rule well should be counted worthy of double honor. Amen. You can't contract with an agency to watch for your soul. You cannot call up Grandma, Grandpa, Susie to watch for your soul. Your dead uncle, your dead preacher, he's not watching down from heaven, watching over your soul. Angels are not even given the charge to watch for your soul. God has given you pastors after His own heart. Amen? Amen. So every time you have the ability, or you're presented with the moment to give honor to your leaders, you need to do that. Amen. And not only do that, just what is given, but the Lord says double it. Amen. Amen. Somebody, it's very quiet in here. Amen. Are we in an apostolic church? Something going on in here. Something's going on. Lift your hands. I talk about honor, and it's like all of a sudden you would have thought that I said something about the Trinity. Come on, let's talk to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's a resistance. There's a strong resistance in this house. Come on, somebody needs to get delivered today. I don't know what's in your spirit. I don't know what's in your heart. But there's a resistance that I feel. It'd be different if I told you to honor me, but this is your leader. Amen. And there's a resistance. Come on, somebody needs to get delivered. Somebody needs to talk to God right now. Lord, search my heart. Sometimes things can set up in people's heart and they not even realize it. Come on, you can have one conversation and another conversation and start speaking things out of your mouth, and behind people's back and you're thinking that nobody hears it, but you fail to realize that God hears all things. Oh my God, come on, in the name of Jesus. Alabanda basata alabacos. Amen. There's a resistance that I feel here. I want to help you. I was going to preach from Matthew. I may end up combining this stuff together, but there's something in here that just has to be addressed. The book of Matthew chapter 5. You know, things happen, you know. God has a remedy, his word deals with everything. There's a word that deals with everything, every area of your life. If you're ever going through something, get the Bible out. Get in that word. God has a way of handling every issue, every trouble, every storm, everything you have in your heart, everything you've got going on with your children, family, job. We got to get in the word. So, you mind if I follow the Holy Ghost? I want to try to follow the Holy Ghost this morning, this afternoon. I want to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And that's what I was going to deal with. I feel like I'm going to try to also address whatever this undercurrent is as well. Evidently, this must be tied into they're going to fit. So the Bible says in the 41st verse, it says, in the 38th verse, it says, ye have heard that it be said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak as well also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. I was going to talk about, doing more, or the problem that comes when we want to just do just enough. You know, just enough to be right, just enough to be saved, just to be enough to be a comfortable, dealing with, you know, becoming comfortable with doing just enough and not actually going the extra mile like Jesus is telling us. I was going to talk about that, but then also, since, you know, what I feel, you know, in this house, it has to be dealt with, I'm going to go to the book of Hebrews. We're just going to kind of combine them together. I believe that God does all things well. Amen? Yes. Amen. The book of Hebrews chapter 13. And we're going to go to the 17th verse. It says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Everybody stretch your hands towards heaven. Let's pray all over this room. Everybody just begin to pray out loud. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. My sister that's got the red skirt on and gold hair getting ready to sit down, could you stand up? Yep, you. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Stretch your hands towards heaven. I don't know who you are, but the Lord said that I am going to give you new life. And he said that there's life after death, there's life after turmoil, there's life after grief. The Lord said that I'm going to give you strength, and I'm going to give you peace. There are some things that have occurred, and there's some things that have been taken. And in your heart, it's like, man, this is done before its time. Almost like God made a move that you were not prepared for. But the Lord says, I am working a work in you. And that there are some things that came to an end before you expected it. He said, but I'm doing something inside of you. And what he is doing on the inside of you, it's working in your character. It's working in your spirit. It's working in your heart, in your mind, preparing you for the things that are to come. The Lord said that you, at times, have focused so much on a lot of other people that you have neglected to actually come to him for yourself. So sometimes what God does is he allows things to begin to slow down. The Lord said, do not take this season as if you are a failure, but take this season as a place that God is calling you into a deeper place of commitment that you may find his face. He said, the Lord said that you have allowed even ministry and trying to help other people as a means of trying to cope with life after the devastation, after the turmoil. He said, but I want to provide for you a place of comfort. I want to provide for you a place of healing. The Lord said this day also, he said, I saw you trying to cover for what failed, what tried to cover for what was going on, even behind closed doors. The Lord said this day, he said, you have carried this weight. He said, it is time to surrender to him the weight that you have been carrying, even on the behalf of people that were playing with God. The Lord said this day, he said, I'm bringing you strong deliverance. I'm bringing you strong healing. I'm bringing you strong peace. I don't know who you are, but the Lord said, I allow the thing to fold that I may give you life. This day I speak peace to your heart and to your mind, because the Lord says, I'm doing a new thing in your spirit. You're not going to die. What's going to happen is there's life that is coming to you, and there's a restoration. There's some things that began, but what happened was you got tied up in doing other people's job to the place where what God was starting in you, it got cut off. But the Lord says, I'm bringing you to a place, and it feels like things are slowing down in a lot of different areas. But what's accelerating is what he is doing in the secret place. Why? Because you got to understand that right now you're in the season where you're storing up treasure that is in heaven. You're storing up treasure in heavenly places where things cannot moth rust, cannot corrupt it, cannot destroy it. I don't know who you are, but I've come to tell you that weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. You need to go through the season rejoicing. Don't be troubled by the gainsayers and the people that are speaking, and they don't know not what they're speaking about. They're just kind of putting stuff out there. They're trying to piece things together, and they're making up stuff. The Lord said, I will shut the mouth of the lion. He said, but in this season, you cannot be concerned by the voices of other people, and not be concerned by the people that have betrayed you. Shut your hands towards my sister this day. Lord, I speak strong deliverance to her today. I speak strong healing to her today. Lord, let there be a breaking, Lord God, of every thought, Lord God, that has been plaguing her, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for breakthrough. I thank you, Lord, for healing, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking God, Lord, that you would even restore. There were some people that got kicked to the curb.
Lord God, I'm asking, Lord, that you will begin to restore, that you begin to heal even some broken relationships, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, begin to reestablish something, Lord God, in her life. Natasha, go lay hands on her right now. Come on. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I speak breakthrough. Come on, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, she's going to go through this thing and she's coming out greater than what she was when she went into it. I thank you, Lord God, for every promise, for every prophetic word that's going to come to pass. I thank you, Lord, for every storm that has passed, but I thank you, Lord, for the sunshine of a new day that is coming, Lord, by the power and the authority that is in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes we're in places and, you know, sometimes we go through things, and I'm quite sure that everything I spoke, she probably already knew that. But sometimes what God does is that God will send someone a word to give to you. And sometimes, you know, because what we're dealing with God is all by faith. But what happens is God oftentimes will bring us to a place where someone will speak an inspired word to you that is directly in correlation with what God has already shared with you. Sometimes you put things into the atmosphere in prayer to God. And when you're doing that, oftentimes when we do that, we in faith believe that God has heard us. There's not the shaking of the chandelier. There's not the light flickering on and off. If I send the fax through to a company, at least there will be something sent back saying the fax is received. If I send the text message to someone and you have an Android device, usually at the bottom it is saying sending. But once that person has read the text message, it is speaking, it is shown in the corner. It says message delivered. Oftentimes when we pray and we talk to God, we're talking to God, then we're believing, you know, we speak and we pray, we worship, and we speak to God. After we've spoken to God, there is no text message. There is no fact sent back letting you know to your natural mind that God's heard you. Kind of like what I talked to you about the other day, about faith. And oftentimes when we begin to think about how God brings people, you know, usually when we think about faith being unseen, usually it's not just, if sometimes we get in the seasons where it's not just good enough for me to know that God has heard from, that I've heard from God, or that God's heard it. Sometimes we're wanting the kind of evidence that even my neighbor can see it. But see, the thing is, when you pray and you talk to God, it's between you and God. And the Bible declares, if a man hath faith, let him have it to himself. So therefore, you can be talking to God, then you can see that God is giving you something, and it'll drop it in your spirit, but the person that's next to you can't see it. So therefore, oftentimes we're waiting for God to give us evidence, not just a confirmation in prayer that just that's good enough for us to hear it, or good enough for us to see it, but we're waiting for the confirmation so that somebody else can kind of stand in and touch and agree and say, yeah, I heard that very thing too. So then what happens is God oftentimes sends someone just to give you a word to reaffirm that I've heard from you. Reaffirm that I'm here with you. Reaffirm to you that I'm present. That even though you may be going through something and God may appear to be far away, He's very nigh. How many of you in this room, yes, how many of you in this room want to thank the Lord right now that He's nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Like I was talking earlier, the scripture declares, it says, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil. He's already spoken about, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Basically, if you do something to me, I have the right to also do that same thing to you. If you hurt me, then in turn, I have every right to hurt you. It's an eye for an eye. Jesus is addressing. You gotta understand that He wrote it in the law. But the Bible declares that the law that came by Moses was not perfect. If it was perfect, it would have been able to save man. But the law was not perfect and it did not have the power to save man. What the law did was expose the sin that was in man. Paul said, I believe, to the Roman church, he said that when the law, he said at one time, he was alive without the law. But when the law came, sin revived and he died. Law of sin, the law that came by Moses, exposed the sin without grace. The law, no matter what you did or how you did it, it was impossible for man to live up and to fulfill that law. The scripture lets us know that Jesus came through the volume of the book. He was able to conquer sin in the flesh. He was able to conquer this world. The Bible declares that in the book of John, towards the end of his departure, he said, the prince of this world is coming, and he said, he has found nothing in me. Jesus was able to fulfill the law, didn't move it, remove it, didn't come to destroy it, but came to fulfill it. And in the fulfilling of that law, the Bible lets us know that grace came. The Bible declares that grace and truth came by way of Jesus Christ. But grace could not be released until Jesus died. After Jesus died, and not only after Jesus died, but after Jesus rose again, Jesus was able to release grace, something that could not be purchased by man. He was able to release something that man was not worthy of. The law Jesus addressed, and he began to speak concerning the law, and he says that an eye for an eye and a tooth, he said, for a tooth. Basically, because I want to expose what sin is and expose the do's and the don'ts and the deal with the letter of the law. He said, at one time, it was lawful that if someone did something to you, if they hurt you, then that person was worthy of that same level of hurt being returned. If a man turns around and a man decides that he's going to rob someone, then it should be expected out of him that not only should he have to repay what he had stolen, but he also had to be willing to give more than what he actually took. It was basically the saying or the deal where the person gets a taste of their own medicine. And in the process of it, you would have thought that dealing with the law and dealing with how the law judged issues, you would think that if a person stole and not only did they have to return what they stole, but also gave more, you would think people would stop stealing. But the law was only able to bring judgment. Law was only able to condemn. The law was not able to change a man. The law was not able to deliver the man. What do you mean? Even if the man did what the law told him to do, that man could not change under that law. He could do all the right stuff and do all the right things, but inside of him, it still never dealt with his nature of sin. You understand that as the Lord begins to address this point in the law, he then begins to talk about, but whosoever shall, he begins to say, I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other side. So he said, I know at one time you could build up some resistance towards anyone that would come against you. The law allowed for it. But now, since you're in a place where things are changing, I want you not to resist any evil that comes your direction. If something comes against you that you do not like, I understand that under the law, you had the right to return evil for evil. And basically, you did to others what somebody else did to you. It wasn't what they called the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You did unto others what others did unto you. And what happens is Jesus begins to talk, and he says that if a person smites you on the cheek, don't retaliate. He said, but I want you to turn the other cheek. What do you mean? Be willing to invite the evil to you instead of resisting it. He then says, and if any man will sue thee at law and take away his coat, let him have your cloak as well. So you would think that basically under the law, you rewarded evil for evil. But under grace, you reward evil with good. Jesus, the Bible declares that grace and truth came by way of Jesus. I think that sometimes in church, we get baptized, we get the Holy Ghost, And many of us want to live under the law instead of living under grace. A lot of people want to cry out grace when they're going through something. You want everybody to give you grace, but you are not willing to return grace to somebody else that doesn't deserve it. See, the law is getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. It is rewarding evil, rewarding you with good for the evil that you've done. Jesus is an example. You've got to understand that Jesus is the testator. Jesus is the one whose blood that was shed that established this new covenant. And the covenant that has been established is uniquely different than the previous one. Because under the old covenant, it was the blood of goats and bullocks. But this covenant is a sacrifice of a son of God, the only begotten son of God. And he begins to speak and he says, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with them twain. Basically, he says that if a person asks for you to go with him 1 mile, he said, I want you to double whatever a person asks you. He's not speaking to Pharisees. He's not talking about people that are in the world. He's not talking to people that are in other religions. He's talking about people who are following him and that intend on following him after his departure. He's making them aware that if you're going to please me and if you're going to follow me, it is only because of a covenant. Everything that you did under the law, you were born up under the law, you lived up under the law, and there was provision that I gave. See, the covenant deals with an agreement. Agreement that God is going to keep you. You will be his. He will be yours. And there are things that are written in that agreement that he'll do for you. He said you'll be blessed in the field. You'll be blessed when you come. Blessed when you know those scriptures that we shout about. But he was only willing to do that if you held to your end of the bargain. If you did not do your part, he wasn't going to do his part. You gotta understand that just because you are born under the law doesn't mean that God is going to release to you the things that he's spoken if you're not coming into agreement with the things that he has spoken. He basically says, you'll be blessed in the city, you'll be blessed in the field, you'll be blessed when you come, blessed when you go. But your lifestyle must agree with what I promised. If you're doing one thing, don't expect me to do this right here. He said, if you don't do what I tell you, he said, these blessings that will overcome and take you. He said, these curses will come upon you and they will overtake you. That sounds good in the beginning. But what do you do with people who are born with a sinful nature? That even though you've given them a bunch of rules, no matter what they try to do, it's impossible for them to live to the letter of the law. So what happens? The Lord turns around and he gives them atonement. I will atone for your sins if you will make sure every year you make these sacrifices. And basically, I'm going to push your judgment day off. Not going to wash away your sins. We're just going to push things off a little bit. It's kind of like you have a student loan. And them people want their money back. Sally Mae says, I want my money. And every year or so, you turn around and you say, hey, can I push this back? What do you call it? Deferring? Can I defer it? Jesus comes to cancel the debt that you owe. But it's not a canceled debt that doesn't come with a payment. He canceled your debt because he paid it. It's not a debt cancellation that came without a payment. And when he comes, he doesn't come like Moses came. Moses came and he brought a law that was not perfect. Jesus came, he brought grace, and the Bible says, mark the perfect man and walk therein. So, Jesus comes with grace and an example on how to live according to that grace. Jesus said, I can't do, I can only do that. He said, Son of Man doth nothing of himself. He can only do that which you see the Father do. See, everything the person did under the law, he can only do it of himself. It wasn't as the Father could do. Why? Because the Father wasn't in him to do it. He did not have the power to do it. He did not have the authority to do it. So therefore, he found himself always in need to make another sacrifice. This thing happens here. And you gotta think that these are his people. These are God's people. All of them, if he doesn't prolong, or if he changes his promise, or you ever had anybody in this room ever fell on hard times? I know we're up here in this Ohio area. Y'all loaded. Y'all Buckeye people. Y'all got all the dough. Anybody ever been broke? Two of us, three or four of us. You ever been in a place where you're like, man, I just need, you know, if they could just let me push it off just a little bit. Just give me a little bit more time and I can pay it. See, my parents would say, you know, to give them more time, let me get more time, let me get more time. And the bill collectors figured out that, you know, these folks just stalling me. They ain't got the money. They don't plan on ever having the money. They just ain't going to get their money. See, the thing is, the Lord is putting it off. But the thing is, he's not putting it off expecting you to pay it. He's putting it off for an appointed time, because he's going to send forth his son to pay a price that you charged up. See, the issue is that there are people that after they've gotten baptized and after they've gotten the Holy Ghost, they forget where they came from. You think you've been holy all your life. You're like, Brother Hurt, I just lived a good, clean, wholesome life. You know, I just never really did anything. You know, I mean, when I came to Jesus, I really didn't need much. You know, I just need the Holy Ghost, you know. And I wasn't like all the other sinners out there. I was a good. As if the Lord didn't need to shed blood for you, he just needed to put some Ajax on you. He didn't need to shed no blood. All I just need him to do is just buff me out a little bit, you know. I just a little roughed around the edges. He just came in, just, you know, waxed me down and buffed me up. And it was like, yeah, you're fine. Like, you didn't really need Jesus. I really didn't need him like that. I just, you know, I could have made it in on my own. I mean, like, as I was. I was still valuable. I never really did anything. And the issue is that you have forgotten what it took to deliver you. Jesus is speaking, and he's talking about his grace, and he's talking about what you used to do, and he's talking about what you should do now. And he tells them, he says, hey, he says, give to him that ask of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, he said, don't turn him away. You've heard that it is said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Now, listen. Jesus is not just a good guy, all right? He's not just sitting out there like Dr. Phil or Oprah Winfrey just sitting up there just giving you some good pointers at life. You know how you ever got those people, you know, in your life, or, you know, in your family, everybody got that one family member that, like, they know it all. Everybody's counselor and they all jacked up themselves. They want to tell everybody what they need to do with their life, and they own antidepressants. They got a pill for everything. They're sitting there, and sometimes I think we treat Jesus like he's just a good guy at the job that just sits back and is like, you know, man, this is, you know, I'm not going to tell you that you got to do this, but, you know, hey, you know, this works for me. And it's like, man, that's a great idea. Listen, Jesus is not trading ideas. Jesus is the only idea. Jesus is the only thought. He said, you will know the truth, and it will make you free. We come up with some of the dumbest, most randomest ideas about who he is. It's a place where he says, love your enemies. And we take that more as a suggestion than we do as a commandment. See, the issue is that some of us in this room aren't holding ourselves to the word. You're holding yourself to the law. Some of us in this room, you're not holding yourself to the scripture. You're holding yourself to tradition. See, tradition to get let you get away with something that the scripture won't. See, tradition will let you do stuff that scripture won't. Tradition will let you make room for some stuff that conviction. See, tradition overrides conviction. You can treat your neighbor any kind of way and there's no conviction. You can do your preacher any kind of way and there's no conviction. You can speak about this person behind their back and there's no conviction. You can do your neighbor any kind of way, and my God, when it comes down to your enemy, you can hate your enemy. You go to heaven. Why? Because you are traditional. You're not been changed by the scripture. You haven't been changed by the grace of God. You haven't been changed by the mercies of God. You have become a partaker of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Your righteousness does not exceed that of a woman's rag. How do you like those apples? It's like, man, that's graphic. It's not graphic enough. You mean Mother Hurt? Jesus, he says, but I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. What? Bless them that curse me. You cursing people back. You know, I don't speak those words. We know how to curse in Jesus' name. You know, this person cuss you out, you'd be like, God bless you anyway. Say the right word, but your heart is full of four-letter words. You just wrapped it up in Jesus' wrapping paper. You've taken the cuss word. You had every four-letter word that your mama, your grandpa, your uncle, and Samuel L. Jackson ever could have taught you. Wrap them up in Jesus' wrapping paper and said, bless you. That's like the devil. That's like somebody giving you a cake and it's loaded with glass on the inside. When you say, bless you, but your heart is not with the blessing. Your mouth say one thing, but your heart is saying something totally different. You're a hypocrite. You say, Brother Hurt, I thought we was in the church. Listen, the Bible tells us that he gives us these scriptures that we may know how to conduct ourselves in the house of God. Why do you think we're here? What are you here to hear a word for? To get some money? So that your social security check don't run out? But what are you here for? Your husband quit getting on your nerves? Listen, this is the house of God. You want to be changed, you need word to change. And listen, it's not the preaching that's going to just change you. It's your obedience and your application to what's being preached. That's where the change is going to come. Just because you show up doesn't mean he's moving. You got to have a love of this truth, but we don't love it. Tell me you love truth and you hate your enemy. Well, tell me you love truth and you curse them that bless you. Some of you are cursing them that bless you. That's where we get to the point of what I was talking about. The Bible says, obey them that have rule over you. Listen, this ain't a cult. All right, see, the thing is, a cult is when Jesus is not the leader of it. Anything that Jesus is not over, it's a cult. I know some churches that are cults. I know some Pentecostal churches that are cults. I know some Baptist churches that are cults. You know why? Because anything that Jesus is not ruling over is a cult. Somebody give me the definition of a cult, please. You Google people. Come on. My wife is, she moves slow. I need one of you teenagers. Y'all fast with them. See what I'm saying? That brother May, Tyson, put that phone up. You fire. You can never use Google. No. You're like, man, he's long-winded and she's long-fingered. No. Go ahead. Oh! A religious what? Veneration. What in the world is a veneration? Somebody give me a definition. Veneration. Esteem to lift up. All right, a religious lifting up of what? Towards a particular figure or object. See, some of us like the image of what we think Christianity stands for. We worship the tradition of church. We worship the idea of church, but we don't worship God. See, Jesus didn't tell you to worship the church. Jesus told you to worship the God. Jesus told you to worship the Father. Some of us are more excited about church than we are excited about God. That is perverted. And now you're trying to figure out why you can't reproduce. It's the same way when a woman says, I don't need a man, and thinks she's going to reproduce a child. You got to be intimate with something that is opposite of you. You got to come into agreement. And when the seed is planted, there will be something that will be brought forth. You say you have no fruit in your life because there's no intimacy with God in your life. You're only intimate with yourself. You're intimate with the church, but you're not intimate with God. Place where, you know what I'm talking about, you become perverted. So now you gratify yourself. It's all about me. Nothing about anybody else. So you become infatuated with yourself, and you become infatuated with how you look. You become infatuated with how you dress. You become infatuated of where you come from. You become infatuated in the fact that you don't look like everybody else on the outside, but on the inside, you look like everything that God stands against. So what happens, Brother Hurt? Hey, it's a pretty little baby. Sound like she's trying to talk. She said, give them, she said, you have heard. She said, but I said, you love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do the good to them that hate you, and pray for them that spitefully use you and persecute you. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? That means that if Brother John does something to me that I don't like, I don't go run and tear down Brother John. I go and pray for Brother John. See, the thing is, many of us want to be grown in the Lord and still act like babies. Yeah. Yes. When she gets to a couple more years, she's going to be like, now listen, you got to be good. This is, she got any siblings? This is your... pick up the other one. Oh, yeah. She's going to have some problems. This is your brother. You're the father? All right. She's going to be like, now listen, this is your brother. This is your sister. You can't, don't put Kool-Aid in your sister's shampoo. That's your sister's. Don't do that to your brother. Leave your brother's stuff. Leave his stuff alone. You leave her stuff alone. Don't say that to your brother. Don't say that to your sister. Why? Because you're teaching them that. That's basics. I mean, come on, somebody. How you treat your brother and sister in a home? That's basic. That's the fundamentals of childhood development. How do I, you know, don't, you know, I remember my mother, she's like, George, that's your sister. Don't say that to your sister. That hurts your sister. You're all we all we got. Listen, George, she might have made you mad, but at the end of the day, don't do that to your sister. My sister, she was a tomboy, so she used to beat up on me. Keela, don't do that to your brother. Your brother looks up to you. One of these days, your brother, you're going to need each other one day. Don't do that. You've got to love each other. When you get older, Dad, I don't know why you keep dealing with my brother. I don't know why you keep doing, I mean, everybody, all of us at one time, Dad, I don't know why you keep fooling with George like that. You know, Mom, I don't know why you keep fooling, you know, my sister like that. Dad, I don't know why you keep fooling. All of us do. And you know what? They were like, listen, that's your brother. That's your sister. Regardless of what's going on, that's who God has given us. That's who God's given you, and that's who God's given him. And therefore, you've got to be able to restore. Whatever has been broken, you've got to come together. You've got to learn how to...
While he did something... And it's not just... And if you listen to the scripture, the Lord isn't just talking about a household. How in the world are you going to love your enemy when you won't even love your brother? The preacher was talking about, you know, revival and talking about, you know, what we're going to, you know, what's going to happen in the future of this church and what God wants to do in the area and in the city. And some of you were just sitting around just like with your hands folded, like la, 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 like looking retarded. I mean, seriously, like as if it's all about me. You should get up and stop worshiping God and just start worshiping yourself. It's all about me. It's all about me. Can't nobody do me like I can. Can't nobody do me like I can. Can't nobody do me like I can. I'm my best friend. Can't nobody do him like he can. He said, Brother Hurt, I'm saying that many of your issues in this room is because you are centered around self. You have forgotten where the Lord brought you out of. See, you got to understand that as long as you're under the law, it puts the focus on yourself. But when you come under grace, the focus is upon him. When you're under the law, you get what you're worthy of. But when you're under grace, he gets what he's worthy of. He is the firstborn of many brethren. This is the reason why. Listen, how are you? I can only imagine some of you got a bullet for your enemy. Got no love for my enemy. There's a good place in hell for people like that. Yeah, there's a good hell. You know, every time you hear people say that, there's a good place in hell for people that say that stuff. Because only a prideful, self-righteous person will glory in somebody else's destruction. And if you said that, you need to repent. What are you saying, Brother Hurt? Why? Because God wants to add to your families. God wants to bring revival to your city. And God wants to bring revival to your church. But he's not in the business of just trying to grow a local congregation. See, your congregation will eventually die off. All of you in this room will most likely be dead in the past 20, in the next 20 years. Many of you in this room are on the verge of, you know, I mean, come on, man. I mean, be real with yourself. Many of you in this room, if you be honest with yourself, if the Lord said, Terry, you'll be dead in 20 years. Some of you will probably be dead in 10 years. Some of you will probably be dead in 5 years. Some of you probably will not make it out of this year. What am I saying, Brother Hurt? I'm saying, and the fact is this, that you've got to understand that you've got to learn how to put love and value towards the things that are eternal. You got to learn how to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. So time, law, I focus more on what man has done. Grace focus on what the Lord has done. And what happens is that he says that you may be the children of your father which is in heaven. Remember that place in the book of John when the Lord spoke, they said, well, we be Abraham's children. We're never in bondage. We be Abraham's children. Jesus said, if you're not Abraham's children, because if you were, you would have heard me. And the reason why you haven't heard me, because you're not of your father. You're not of Abraham, but you're of your father, the devil. Because if you were of my father, which is in heaven, you would receive me. If you will go out and do the complete opposite of what I'm telling you,
Your father is not in heaven. Your father is the devil. I mean, straight up. I mean, that's what it cuts down to, the cutting line. You got to understand, church, everybody that starts off with us don't end with us. People come in, people leave. People get on board, and people get off board. There are people, listen, if you say, listen, you're not doing us a favor. If your relationship with God and what you do for God is looking at like, I'm doing the church a favor. I'm doing the preacher a favor. I'm doing the evangelist a favor. I'm doing this father a favor. I'm here. I'm just your gift. And you don't appreciate me, then you're just a hater. Listen, if hater is a factor in any of your doing towards God, you're not serving God. You're serving the perception of other people. You idolize yourself. You have made yourself your own image, and you have worshiped the image of self. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? He says that if you may be my children, that you may be my children of your father, which he's telling you to do this stuff. Why? Because you got to understand this is a new covenant. This covenant sacrificed animals. This covenant was sacrificed the Son of God, a man that knew no sin, who gave to us something that we did not deserve. What do you mean? He said, the strength, he said, everything I'm doing for you is off the strength of what you don't deserve. It's more about my love for you than your love for me. It's only me being good to you that brings you to a place of repentance. So, therefore, I'm getting ready to give you more than what you ever could have had in the New Old Testament. What happened under that covenant is not compared to what I'm going to do with this covenant. But this covenant, I need a change of character. You got some folks that be like, well, you know, you got some people out there, they call themselves prophets, and they think they've got the ticket just to do whatever they want to do. They be like, well, my God, Elijah did such and such. Elijah was under a law that wasn't perfect. But now when grace comes into the picture, God's expecting a certain type of character out of you. God is expecting you to be patient. God's saying, I don't want you to have an eye for an eye. You would have crossed one of those prophets back then, you would have died. Why? Because the law gave them the authority to judge in that matter. Do that to some of them apostles now or back then. You know what happened? There were apostles that died at the hands of people that had no honor and no respect for them. Why? Because the servant's not greater than his master. If we're going to reign with him, we've got to learn how to suffer with him. You've got to understand that where you're at came because of bloodshed. That you and I, none of us, deserve. And any time there's an alt between two people or four people or somebody holding an alt or having unforgiveness in their heart, it is at the expense of minimizing the grace of God and magnifying the offense of man. If you're going to do that, you might as well not even have a crucifixion of Christ. Just go back under. If you're not going to show mercy, if you're not going to love your enemy and just give them what you feel like they deserve, well, how about Jesus withholds what you don't deserve and gives you what you do deserve? He said, by this, do you understand that when we got problems in the church and we're not dealing with our issues, you're on the phone talking crazy, to behind people's backs, sowing discord, speaking things that you ought not, doing things that you ought not, putting your mouth on people, touching other people, having dishonor towards other people, not honoring your wife and not honoring your husband and not doing good to your children, not taking care of your kids, being bitter, holding in forgiveness in your heart, and you do all this stuff in the house of God, don't you know that you bring a reproach? What kind of example are you setting for those that are in the world? You are supposed to be the lighthouse, not the crack house. This is not supposed to be the house of the dead. This is supposed to be the house of the living. People are supposed to come here and get revived, not come here and die at the hands of people that have the blood of Jesus applied to their life, but have the blood of their brother upon their hands. You count the blood of the covenant when you do that. What am I saying, Brother Hurt? You got to understand, my friend, we're trying to go somewhere. Listen, this ain't about just having a great congregation so you can just walk around and say, hey, I go to that church on the hill somewhere. No, this is about going to heaven. People die. They go to real places after this. And if you don't want to go to heaven, go. Do whatever you want to do. But don't sit back and lie to yourself. Don't sit back and play church. Don't sit back and be a false religious hypocrite. Don't live for God all your life and die the death of a fool because you decided that you wanted to have some sort of seniority that wasn't given to you by God but was given to you. But God's not concerned about your tenure. If you've been here longer, you should be a servant. You see, Brother Hurt? This is God's church. This is God's church. This is God's. This ain't your preacher's church. This ain't your reverend's church. This ain't the organization's church. This is God's church. He purchased it with his own blood. You better watch how you treat people that Jesus purchased with his own blood. By this men shall know that you are my disciples. Because you'll have love one to another. See, we love people until they do us wrong. Only thing your love should be doing to your brother is covering. The only love your sister you should be doing to your sister is covering the offense. The Bible declares love covers a multitude of sin. I mean, come on, somebody. I remember when I came in out the world, I thank the Lord that he didn't let me come to some of these churches. People are like, man, I don't know why it is. My people don't. I get people, they get baptized, they get the Holy Ghost, it just don't stick. Can I help you? Can I help somebody in this room? See, some of us don't want us to be real, all right? Some of us want you to just tell me just what I want to hear. Just make me feel good, preacher. Make me feel like everything's perfect, like Jesus shows up and like, you know, lift your hands, daughter. I'm just so amazed at you. You're just so wonderful. I love everything about you. You're just the epitome of just greatness. I tell you, there's nobody better than you in the earth. You're just like my son is. I mean, like, if I should just call you up now. He doesn't do that stuff. We want, you got to be real with Jesus. You got to understand. There's a reason why people don't stay. I'm going to tell you why. See, the thing is, when people are self-righteous and when people are not merciful and people do not love, love don't cover. I mean, hold on. When people don't love, when there's an absence of love, there's an absence of covering. So what do you mean? Anybody ever had a bad dream that you stepped out of the house and you didn't have your clothes on? Or weren't fully dressed? Stepped out, you know, or the very thought of it. You'd be like, if something happened, you'd be trying to cover yourself, right? Because people don't want to be uncovered. When Adam sinned against God, you know what happened? He tried to cover himself. He wanted a covering. People turn to get the Holy Ghost and say that God is love and God loves them and God adores them and God is going to heal them and deliver them and he loves them and he's going to save them and they can feel the love of God and it's the goodness of God that brings them to repentance. The message is right, but the atmosphere is wrong. Why? Because the people that bring the atmosphere are wrong. Said when two or three come together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. But what happens when people come together in Jesus' name, but they have no love? You mean? That means that I'm not going to cover. I'm going to condemn. So then people come to church and they won't stay here because they don't feel like they're good enough. Because I'm not here with doctors, I'm here with judges. I'm not coming up here before a throne. I'm coming up here, not at an altar, but I'm at the prosecutor's bench. And while I'm in the altar trying to get a hold of the judge, I got prosecutors in the pew. What are you saying, Brother Hurt? Every time you walk around and you hold some sort of grudge with somebody in your family, you're a prosecutor. Every time you put your mouth on somebody, praise the Lord, instead of praying for them, you are a prosecutor. And you bring a spirit that wants to disrupt the flow of God's grace and the atmosphere that when a preacher comes and preaches and the person receives a word of God, they can't stay at that church. Why? Because the preaching is right, but the atmosphere is wrong. They're more intimidated by what they feel in the pew than what they feel in the pulpit. Say, Brother Hurt, I'm telling you, you've got to repent. This church needs to repent. This church needs to repent for the dishonor. This church needs to repent for the grudges. This church needs to repent for the lack of loyalty. This church needs to repent for the lack of commitment. Why? Because if you won't honor your parents, my mama used to say all the time, she didn't know no scriptures, but she knew, honor your mama and father. Your day is going to be long. Listen, you want a church to die? Dishonor. Why should God save your child when you're going to kill him? Why should the Lord bring somebody to your church and you're going to destroy him? What are you going to do to help him? You ever had somebody... I know some people right now, I'm like, man, I'm tired of the... Like, why don't you just go get snipped? Because you do more damage bringing children into this world than you do helping them. I'm not saying kill the children by any means. Totally against abortion. But many of us, we stand against abortion in the world. We get mad when Planned Parenthood do it, but you don't get mad when the church do it. We just... We don't kill them in the womb. We just kill them when they come out. How? Neglecting them. How would you like it if that would have happened to you? I have an obligation. What do you mean? What brought me to repentance and what brings a person to the repentance? The Bible says it's the goodness of the Lord. The Bible says also heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. What brings us to repentance is the goodness of God. It does something to our heart when we realize that we actually deserve something. And he gave us something different, something greater, something better that we didn't deserve. He did not withhold, but he gave. He gave himself. And what Jesus is talking about in this scripture, he's talking about the giving of oneself. And if you love God When somebody does you wrong, you know what you're going to do? You're going to give. When somebody asks you of something, you're not going to just do. Some of us just want to do just enough to make ourselves feel righteous and not understanding that you're not measuring yourself. God's not measuring you by your expectation. He's measuring you by his expectation. He said, I know my thoughts that I think towards you, the thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you an expected end. He said, Brother Hurt, listen, let's not walk with Jesus so long and then we forget that we have been delivered from our sins. That we forget that it's by grace that he saves us. Let's not get so far and get so far alone that we forget that such were some of we, that we forget that there was a debt that was paid for us. All the Lord is saying is, listen, I'm not telling you to shed blood for your brother. I'm saying let the blood that I shed from your brother flow to your brother. Don't be a stumbling block. You know what I mean? Don't be a tourniquet. Person gets an injury in the leg. They to save the body. They put a tourniquet on, but it may cost that person a limb. Don't put a tourniquet on your brother. Don't cut people off because somebody, you ever made somebody mad? They don't want to talk to you no more. In the church. I mean, you're going to heaven. Some people ain't going to want to go to heaven for eternity. Be like, she going there too? People on your job and family and friends, they be like, we're going to go all be there together in eternity. You're like, oh my God. I was going to go when I found out Jesus is going to be there, but I heard you coming. You going like that? People are going to be putting in requests to Jesus when they get there. Jesus, could you? I love her, Lord, but she was difficult down there on earth. And I know she ain't, you say howsoever a tree falls, so shall she lay. Lord, I need you to make it, Lord, that you could put me, can you put me on the north side? Put her maybe on the east side. We just show up, you know, when it's time to fellowship. We need to get right. We need to get right. That means this. Pastor, come here. Bible declares that he calls apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Church, we can't perfect ourselves. I've got people under me. I also got people that are over me. I got a pastor that if he called me right now and said, Brother Hurt, I want you home today at 9 o'clock in my office, I'm going to be there. I showed up the church. I come in town and I travel all over the world full time. I very seldom ever come to church, to our church, my pastor's church. I have a church that's under me as well. And even when I pastored, I very seldom would be able to get to that home church. But as a full-time evangelist, I may show up there maybe two Sundays out of the year. And usually I'm preaching at least one or two of them. Every once in a while, I may show up at home on the Bible study night. And if I show up and it's 7 o'clock, you know where we're going? We're going to Bible class. He tells me, he's like, Brother Hurt, man, I expected you to rest. He's like, man, I was expecting you just to kind of stay home and rest. I know you've been busy. You've been in church almost every night of the week. I thought you were going to rest or something. No, you're my leader. I want to be where the word of God is being preached, and you're the shepherd that God has put over me. And the thing is, even though I can go to a different church down the street, I need to go where God has appointed the shepherd to watch for my soul. He's saying something that maybe my favorite preacher down the street ain't saying.
That's right.
That's what I mean. It's like this. Remember when you were a child? Mom said when it's time to go home and eat, you know, dinner time is at 6. You didn't tell mom, well, 9 o'clock rolled around and you just walking through the door. And mom was like, you know, boy, dinner time, be at home at 6, you know, dinner time. No, mom, I went on over, you know, I ate over at such and such house. See, sometimes eating in the home is not just feeding you, but it's also there's some fellowship that's involved with the feeding. See, sometimes mom wants to sit down at the dinner table and actually not just feed you, but there's some impartation that she wants to give you. And many of you are eating but missing what God wants to give you. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? That means that I only miss if I got to. And if I can make it, I'm going to be there. I missed church for the first time in years to go on the vacation. And I almost went to church then. And the only reason why I didn't go was because I'm in church about 52 weeks a year. And I'm talking about not just 52 weeks a year. Everybody should be in church 52 weeks a year. I'm in church throughout the week, all the time throughout the year. I'm preaching 49 to 50 weeks a year, at least. And that's not included. That's not just Sundays. That's multiple days throughout the week. That being said, I have a responsibility to my body that God's put me in. To be where he's supposed. Why? Because he's put gifts in the church. What do you do when you're somewhere? You got a sister that's here that needs something, and God actually has used you as a member to supply that. But we're in multiple different places. We got multiple different things going on. Listen, church, you got to understand it's by grace. But that's not grace that you could just do any kind of way. That grace governs. And if mercy has been given, whatever meat you measure will be measured to you. So what am I saying today? I'm saying we need to stand up. The Lord says, I want your commitment to the grace of God. Listen, I just can't let you go around and I'm not, and you walk out of here deceived and people, you know, die and they go and they're trying to, you know. I sat back the other day and I thought about, you know, my grandmother. She was not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. She was not filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She was a good woman. She didn't line up with Scripture. She was 94 years old. I told my wife, I said, I've never met a woman like her. I said, I never ever heard my grandmother ever speak bad about anybody. I never heard her cuss. And you, where I come from, that's like amazing. Especially if you ain't got the Holy Ghost. You got folks with the Holy Ghost cussing. She didn't have the Holy Ghost. And I never heard, hold on, she cussed one time when my grandfather did something. They got into an argument and she got mad. She said something slick at my grandfather and she accidentally fell. It's kind of funny. Back then, you know, I was about 7 years old, and my grandfather kind of helped pick her up, and she cussed at him. You know, she didn't want his help. And that was it. She was a good grandmother. She would give for anybody. I've never seen anyone give hospitality like she would. People could come in from out of town. She'd take them in. If you were sick, she would take you in. She nursed people back to health. I mean, she was what women should be. And I was sitting in the funeral. I'm like, man, like, golly, like, trying to wrap my mind over the fact that the Lord judges and matters like this. And he puts good people in hell. Or what we call good people. That's why he says, call no man good on the earth. See, God is not looking at your works. It's not your works that's going to save you. And that's what he spoke to me. He said, George, you're looking at the works of your grandmother. It's not by works that you're saved. It's by grace. And church, many of us have been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you have no grace. You are restricting the grace of God from flowing through your life. And right now, I think it would be in order if everybody in this room begin to search your heart right now. Lift your hands up towards heaven. It's time to get this self-righteousness out of here. You can go to a church down the street. Jesus is going to be still saying the same thing. They just can tell you something and they just probably won't tell you the full truth. They just withhold it. Be concerned about your tithing and be concerned about your offering or just be concerned about your membership. But I ain't concerned about your money, your tithe, or nothing. I'm concerned about your soul. I wouldn't call. Your money didn't call me. God called me. Your money didn't call. Your membership is not what calls the preacher. God calls a preacher. He's got to feed you the word of God. Come on, somebody in this room, you got to search your heart. There's some things you're holding against somebody. You got some things in your life you need to get rid of. Come on, right now is the time to deal with it. There's some things you've got in your heart, some unforgiveness. Come on. I don't care what they've done. Jesus has told us what to do. I know it's tight, but it's right. The Bible declares, it says, enter into the straight gate. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to the path of life. The Bible says, few be there that find it because of the broad way. Come on, you're trying to make room for what God doesn't want you to have in your heart. Come on, you want to keep making room. You're going down Broadway. You may be walking with the people. You may be walking with God's people. But are you walking down Broadway? Are you walking down the straight gate? God knows what gate your heart's trying to get down. He knows what gate your heart is trying to enter into. Come on, the Bible talks about, you know, that narrow way. That means it's the Bible talks about the rich man and how it's challenging and how it's almost impossible for a rich man to go through the eye of the needle. Eye of the needle, it gets more and more narrow. You got to get low through that gate. You got to sit to the wall in Jerusalem. And if you're going to get through that gate as a camel, you got to get low. And the lower you get, the more narrow things get. Listen, the Bible talks about this narrow way. That means that what I started off with, by the time I go through the entrance or the threshold of the other side, coming out of the other side, what I started off with, the closer I get to him, the more I've got to take off. That means the more stuff you got in your life, you might have came into this door, praise the Lord, with this baggage and all that stuff, but the closer you get to him, the more he's going to require you to die out to yourself. You're going to be required. I heard one man of God say, he said, I must decrease so that God can increase. Come on, you better get used to decreasing in your life. Come on, I'm telling somebody in this church today, praise the Lord, that God has not found your works perfect yet. The Lord said, strip to the thieves that are ready to die. He has not found their works perfect yet. Come on. Somebody in this room tonight, pray this morning today, praise the Lord, needs to get your life together with God. Come on, it's time to surrender yourself to the will of God. Come on. You say, well, preacher, I let everybody else do that. You got to understand, we're not just individuals. We're members of one body. You're not an island. Praise the Lord. You got to understand that when you don't participate, when you reject the will of God for your life and you say, well, I'm not going to do it. You got to understand it impacts the whole body. Your obedience impacts the whole body. Your disobedience impacts the whole body. Your commitment impacts the whole body. Your lack of commitment impacts the whole body. Your forgiveness towards your brother impacts the whole body. Your lack of forgiveness impacts the whole body. You say, I'll leave this church and I'll go somewhere else. Praise the Lord. You're still going to make an impact on the body. Why? Because wherever you're at, praise the Lord, you are a body. It's not the building that just makes you the body. Praise the Lord. It's the spirit that makes you the body. The Bible declares that we're baptized into the body by one spirit, and by that one spirit were you called. You got to understand the day that God said, I'm calling you to make some changes. Come on. Come on. It's time to make room. Come on, Dave. Paul said, I die daily, church. When was the last time you died? God said, it's time to quit doing just enough. See, when we do just enough, we get what we want. But when we go beyond, we get what He wants. Are you afraid of doing good? Are you afraid of being good to someone? Or are you afraid that you might forgive somebody too much? You're more concerned about somebody taking advantage of you instead of you taking an advantage of the moment to show somebody the grace and the love and mercy of God and say, you know what? I'm doing this to you. Not just for you. I'm doing this for, see, the Lord's been good to me and I want to show you the love of God. You should count it joy when you go through trials. You should count it joy when you go through all manner of temptation. You should count it joy when storms and when men persecute you and they say all manner of evil against you. Jesus said, yet in it rejoice. Come on, you are rejoicing when you come out of storms instead of rejoicing that God counted you worthy to go into the storm. Church is not about us. It's about Him. When you're under the law, it's about us. But when you're under grace, it's all about Him. Hallelujah. Come on. I surrender all. Whoa. Come on. Come on, because when you do this, you begin to step into a flow. See, God can then begin to trust you. He can put things into your hands. Why? Because He knows that you're not going to just use it for yourself. See, He can bless you with the business now. Why? Because He knows that you're not going to be selfish. If He's going to put you, He knows that now He can trust you with what He wants to give you. Why? He can trust you to be the lender. Praise the Lord. Why? Because you're not going to consume it for yourself. He can trust you with more. Why? Because you've gotten self out of the picture. You have denied self. You have crucified self. He can trust you with revival. Why? Because you're not in this thing for yourself. You're in this thing for Him. You are putting Him first. He is at your interest. Hallelujah. Come on.
Come on, now he can bless you. You can walk in the blessing. Why? Because you're not going to steal the glory. You're going to give him the glory. Come on, he can open up the door for you now. Why? Because he knows if he opens up the door, you're going to let other people in. He can move on your behalf as he knows you're not going to be a stumbling block. He can trust you. Love thinketh not on the things of itself, but on the things of other people. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. God can give you a neighbor. Praise the Lord. God will put you in the community that you want to live in. God can open up some doors. Why? Because he can trust you with the neighbor next door. He can trust that you're going to do by that neighbor what needs to be done for that neighbor. Come on. He can put some new friends in your life that have your best interest in mind because he can trust you with the enemies. He said, you know, if I know that they can do right by their enemies, I know that they'll do right by my friends that I'm going to give them. I know that they won't misuse my friends. I know that they won't take advantage of the friendships that I put in their life when they take advantage of the enemies that I put in their life. I know that if I can trust them with the enemies, I can trust them with friends. Oh yeah, I give them the code. I give them anything they want. Why? Because if I send an angel to come and ask them of something, they'll give to that angel. Why? Because they made up in their mind that if somebody asks me one thing, I'm going to give them twice what they ask. I'm not going to be stingy. I'm not going to be self-centered. I'm not going to be selfish. Come on. It's time to die so that Christ can live through you. Hallelujah. Come on. Many of us in this room, we shout on Easter. You shout on resurrection. Praise the Lord. Sunday. Every single year when you talk about he got out of the grave. But listen, church, it's amazing that he was able to roll away the stone and get out of that tomb. But many of us, praise the Lord, we harness him on the inside and we keep him in there like he's in the tomb. He can't even operate the way that we want to operate. Why? Because he got a callous heart. We got a stone wall built up, praise the Lord. And we just keep building up walls around him and keep him on the inside when he wants to work on the outside. Let the Spirit of God work in your life. Hallelujah. You can't put the Spirit of God in prison. But whenever you reject His Word and His operation in your life, you put yourself in a prison. Turn to someone right now. Pray for them. I want you to pray for unity. Unity in the Spirit. Unity in the faith. Come on, everybody should be praying with somebody. Come on. It's time to pray. Pray for unity, church. We need to be one. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Sometimes things happen. Come on. God gives you pastors just like he gives you parents. No child can choose his own parent, and no man can choose his own pastor. God gives you pastors, just like God gives you parents. We live in a world right now where people, they don't like their parents. They got children's right and they divorce their parents and say, I want to go somewhere else where I can get some new parents. Come on, the devil is a liar. That same spirit's operating in the church that people don't like what the pastors tell them to do. Praise the Lord. They just get up, they divorce that pastor and they go try to find themselves their own pastor. But can I tell you, the Bible said, I don't give you the choice to choose your pastor. He said, I will give you pastors after my own heart. Not you choose a pastor after your own heart. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. In the name of Jesus. Glory. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your mercy. Husbands, you have a responsibility over your house as men. You have a responsibility for your children. You have a responsibility for your wife. You are the priest and not just the provider of your home. If you have children, or if your wife does things that is dishonoring or provides endangerment for the body, to the body, it is your responsibility to deal with your own. It's not, should not have to be your pastor's. If you are the priest of your home, you have the responsibility of dealing with the people that are in your home. If you do not have the power or the authority in your home to deal with your own home, then you should not be doing anything in the house of God. If you can't do it in your own house. Wives, the Bible says, submit yourself unto your own husband. If your submission to your pastor is greater than your submission to your husband, you're out of order. Amen, somebody. You're out of order to your own husband, not to the pastor's wife's husband. Your own. And when that happens, there's an authority of God that begins to flow through your home, and there's a blessing of God that begins to flow through your family. And God wants to bring order into your homes and into your houses. There's so many children that are living out of the will of God because there was no order in the home. They charged the church. They said it was the church's job. They said it was the youth pastor's job. It's your own job. God's going to hold you accountable to what goes on in your own home. You say, well, she's not going to, if I pull rank, I put my foot down, she's going to sleep in another bed. Let her go. She's not going to kiss me. Let her choke on her mouth being closed. What are you saying, Brother Hurt? I'm saying that you do not allow manipulation. You don't allow listen, because what I feel in this house, it couldn't be going on if it wasn't going on in somebody else's house. Usually if there's disorder that shows up the church because of disorder in the home. And God is saying it is time. Listen, I'm not going to say there's not going to be times where you're going to have problems. Listen, you're going to have problems. There's going to be disagreements. But you come into agreement with the scripture. Every home should have a Bible that governs it. And says that whatever happens, if we fall out, we go through something, or there's an issue, we will come back to Bible. And the Bible will be what is used to reconcile us together. We're going to build our home upon the scriptures and not upon our feelings. And then when that happens, listen, there's going to always be something. But you don't hold stuff in. You don't say, well, I'm not going to deal with that person. No, the Bible says you have an alt, bring it to them. But make sure that when you bring your alt to your brother, make sure you bring the grace of God and the willingness to forgive. The grace that you're bringing should be bigger than the alt. And if you are coming with alts that are bigger than grace, then you need to repent. Why? Because whatever has been done to you, whatever you've done, whatever has been done to you, it is not compared to whatever you have done to God. And I've always taken that like that, that I've learned how to take that regardless of what happens, somebody does something to me, I don't like it, I'm angry, and I get frustrated, and then I start thinking. I always have to come back to myself. And listen, if you would humble yourself, you say, you know what, I've done way worse to God than what you ever could have done to me. I forgive you. Sometimes what's making things right, some things, if a person steals from you, make it right, give them back the money. Someone robs you, give it back to them. But there's some things that it's impossible to give back. The only way to reconcile or to restore, it's just to forgive the debt. And listen, if you want to be that person that, you know, we want to be the lender, not the borrower, the head and not the tail. We want to be the people with the blessing. Listen, this covenant came by debt cancellation. And he has made us ruler of much. We have a responsibility to also be willing to forgive people of their debt. Especially when I ask God every day in prayer, forgive me of all of my debts as I forgive those who have trespassed or have debts against me. Lead me not into temptation. You're going to fall into temptation if you don't forgive. On the other side of unforgiveness is sin. Temptation is coming. What can block it is you walking around in forgiveness. Amen? Amen. Put your hands together and give the Lord great praise. I want you to go to five people and tell them that I love you and I appreciate you. And I thank God that he has given you in my life. You know, say that or whatever comes to your heart. I want you to speak from the heart to five people right now. Come on, we gotta. That's it. Said, by this men shall know that you're my disciples. We gotta value each other. We gotta love each other.